getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
The long-suffering Cambridge Rail passenger has been through the mill again. Those travelling down to the capital over the holiday period were delayed by overrunning engineering work, and the new year started with more fare increases. Christopher Burton of Rail Future, the independent organisation campaigning for better rail services for passengers, is here in Guider Street. Hello, Chris.
Julian, good afternoon to you.
Thank you very much for coming in. Now, first of all, just to set the scene here, who do you represent and how do you represent them?
Well, we represent two strands of rail user. First and foremost, the passenger, and secondly, freight. You know, we're very interested in promoting freight on rail where that's viable, given that most freight will always be going by road.
It's got less and less over the years,
well,
hasn't it?
Well, yeah. Yes, but it's basically short-distance freight that goes by road. But too much of it still on the medium to long distance is not going by rail, which it could do. So that's one of the things we promote. But essentially, we're about passenger use of railways and just making them friendlier and better and improving the service.
There's lots of, well, so-called improvements anyway, which are going on. We'll try and go through some of those over the next few minutes. The obvious one to start off with is the change of franchise holder. I guess that's the term one would use. It's so confusing between Cambridge and King's Cross. It used to be First Capital Connect, but not so long ago it changed to Great Northern. I always get the name wrong.
Yes, it's owned by Govia. They're the people actually running it. And it is Thameslink Great Northern. And that was affected last September.
Do they run many services across the country as well as the Cambridge line?
Yes, they do. They run the whole of the central section of Southern, not the services in Kent, but in most all of Sussex, I think, and parts of adjoining counties. So they've got quite big responsibility. And what they're actually doing by taking on this franchise, in 2018, Cambridge will be linked into Thameslink, which currently runs from Bedford down to Brighton.
Now, that gets quite exciting, doesn't it? Because it opens up a few other possibilities.
It does indeed. You know, if you want to fly from Gatwick, for example, which is a bit of a lumbering journey if you're not driving it or going by coach, you just get on a train at Cambridge, and in some cases it'll be Royston or... But Cambridge, certainly. And you'll go all the way through to Gatwick without changing the train.
That's got quite an interesting one. Have they given any indication as to sort of how long it might take to get from A to B on that one?
It'll probably take about 70 minutes, I would think.
That's not too bad.
70 to 80 minutes would certainly take you that driving it.
Because it's strange, as a passenger, I'm one of those people, I go down to London, I guess, once every couple of weeks. I need to go down for work for one reason or another. And frankly, I haven't really noticed any difference at all. You know, I'm sure they're in the same trains with a complaint
on. I mean, they haven't changed the timetable yet. They're just bedding in and getting used to arranging a timetable that's already been imposed on them by the Department of Transport. And what makes this particular franchise rather different from most is that all the revenue goes to the Department for Transport, and Govia are paid a management fee of, I think, about 3% for getting it right. Well, we hope.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that then give them an extra incentive in order to have a better performing service?
Oh, yes, because there's a franchise that follows this, and the nature of the animal is that they will probably want that, and they will be judged on their performance and what can and cannot be delivered. Because really, this is something of an unknown territory. It's such a major change for passengers north of London, as well as to a lesser extent those south, because equally, somebody can get on Brighton and certain intermediate stations.
What did First Capital Connect do wrong in the first place to lose the contract? Were they just unlucky and they were outbid?
Well, they were certainly outbid. It's been said, and I haven't seen this firmly in writing, it's been said that Govia offered to reduce the cost of running the railway over the 7 years they've got the franchise for about 450, 460 million. Well, one would need to ask where that comes from on an annual basis. It's not that much per annum. It's over the space of the franchise. But that's quite a lot of money. So... we're waiting to see what happens.
The other thing which we have to mention, of course, is those problems which happened just after Christmas, I should say, the overrunning engineering work. By a wonderful coincidence, Mark Carn, who's the head of Network Rail, has been speaking to MPs today on the Commons Transport Committee. He says they've been tackling unnecessary delays, and this is what he had to say.
The delays associated with the overrunning of engineering works have actually halved So there have been significant improvements. They've halved at a time when we've doubled the amount of money we spend on these sorts of works.
Do you think that's a fair assessment that he's given there?
Yes, those are the facts, but it doesn't alter the fact that they've got this terribly wrong. Mm. And at Paddington, there were a lot of other projects going on around the country that were all brought in on time over Christmas, but these two were seriously out, which means somebody made, or several people made, mistakes. And they might have had an element of bad luck. Maybe some equipment, vital equipment, failed. Presumably that's in the report, which I haven't read as yet.
Mm. I know in cricket there's this wonderful phrase about, you know, batsmen, when they're doing well, they say is lucky, but, you know, that then follows up, he makes his own luck. And do you think there's a certain element of that going on for the rail companies?
Without a doubt. And after, you know, in Network Rail's favour, is the fact, you know, you've got to marshal over a Christmas holiday nationally about 9,000 people who instinctively would rather not be there despite being paid more for being around, and to make sure they all turn up on every day of that possession to do the work and that they are being supervised properly, which they may well have been a problem with on this occasion. I don't know. I'm merely speculating because I haven't read the report and I don't know. I have been told some things on the side by people involved with the project what did go wrong, but I won't say that here now because unless it's confirmed in the report, it could be embarrassing.
Yes, and it would be interesting when we get, I guess, gradually various bits and pieces will come out about that. But I guess, you know, part of the problem is that there's so many people wanting to use the rails these days, and the repairs have to be done at some time. And whilst it's not much fun if you're going down to the theatre or going some shopping in London over Christmas, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably better than doing it in the middle of a busy working week.
Well, it is indeed. I wouldn't want to excuse in any way sort of incompetence on their part, which it does look as though that played quite a big part in the King's Cross shenanigans. But yes, you're quite right. I mean, if you're the traveller, you want to get there and you want to be able to get home again late at night if you're going up to London for a show or something, wherever you're going. It doesn't just mean London.
And Cambridge Station gets tremendously busy. It only takes, you know, a couple of students going home and the booking hall is completely full. There are improvements, as we know, going on, as well, somebody like myself who will cycle to the station then has to work out how to get from the entrance to the cycle park.
Yes.
Without and working out how they've changed it this particular
week.
It's
taking a bit of a culture change for a lot of people.
I know, and there's a building you look up and thought, hang on a moment, wasn't there a building there last week? What sort of things are you looking for once the improvements are in? And actually maybe tidying things up whilst we're putting up with the building.
Well, first and foremost, I think like everyone else, we're looking for a much more efficient way of getting tickets to people, because it doesn't really matter whether you're queuing for a ticket or going for a ticket at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning or 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, because frankly there's very little difference at the moment. There's an enormous queue, usually out of the door in term time.
And the booking office as well. I noticed, like the long term rail thing. I went to try and renew my rail card, only to discover the office was open for about 2 hours a week. That's a slight exaggeration, but not far off.
Well, you could understand somebody arriving at the station who didn't make journeys very often, thinking, "Oh, must be closed. There's a strike on," and going away, not realising they're merely trying to get a ticket.
Yes.
And I'm sure some people may have done that, but no, it has been a major problem. It's taken quite a while to resolve. But one of the difficulties with Cambridge Station, it's a listed building, and we all know what the problems can be with changing listed buildings.
Yeah, very much so.
It takes a long time to get it through the pipe work to the tap of actually producing something.
But do you think that, you know, when it's finished, you know, will it be a usable thing, or are there always going to be problems just brought around by the nature of Cambridge almost?
Yes, by the sheer growth in Cambridge. There was a time when, out of all the stations north of London in the east of England, Chelmsford had the highest throughput. We have overtaken that, and we're way above places like Peterborough, Norwich and Ipswich, who average about 4.5 million, still growing, mind you. None of them have had a drop in figures in the last 10 years. But
do you think we're over nine million
in Cambridge.
Do you think the Science Park station will take some of the pressure off?
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's one of the best things that could happen, because, I mean, for people who've got to, you know, half the problem is it translates into congestion in Cambridge itself as people make their way to North Cambridge. It's a hell of a journey. You know, you might get to Cambridge in 50 minutes from London, but then you've got another 15-minute journey, depending on your mode of transport, to get to wherever you live in Cambridge. That will make a really major difference, both the timetables and people's own personal timetable.
Yes, interesting movement on that. And the other thing, just to close, really, we talked at the start of this interview about going down to Gatwick. Do you think we'll ever get the chance to go to Oxford by train again?
Yes, I do. That's probably the most exciting project, even more to me, even more so than Thameslink, although others might disagree, because the connectional opportunities, connectivity as they call it these days, are immense. I mean, just think about it. If they just put back in that track, a bit, albeit expensively, between Bedford and Cambridge, then you've got an interchange at Bedford across the platform with trains going to Leicester, Derby, Sheffield and Nottingham. Then again at Milton Keynes, an even wider range, because then you're on the West Coast main line.
That's interesting, because it's often reported when people talk about opening up the so-called Varsity line, it's like getting from Cambridge to Oxford. But as you describe it there, there's the opportunities in the other direction as well.
Indeed, and you see that's going to encourage growth of communities along that line, business and residential. And then you get to Oxford itself, and that's a connectional thing, because at Oxford you can get straight into a train there and go down to Southampton. So literally Cambridge to Southampton with one change, and some of the trains go on to Bournemouth.
So really,
and that is just one possibility, because I think if this, when this gets done, which I hope I'm still alive when it's finished, they may well change timetables to reflect this. So you may be able to make journeys further afield, like to Bristol, Plymouth, Cardiff. You know, there are an enormous number of possibilities.
I hate the phrase, but it really does seem like a game changer with that coming in.
Yes, I was trying to avoid that.
I know, I'm afraid of, getting my tabloid mode, I'm afraid.
It's a timetable transform, if you want another alliterative.
Yeah, no, I think that's much better. Chris, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to Cambridge 105 tonight. That's Christopher Burton of Rail Future, which campaigns for better rail services for passengers.